Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's UFC 261 title fight with 26-1 odds on either fighter to win. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $5 into $135 if the title contender of your choice wins. That's code FANRUN in all caps to turn $5 into $135. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, want help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, 3:02 on your Tuesday. Thanks for being along the program this afternoon. We're slowly picking up the pieces, cobbling things back together. Bear is with us this afternoon, live from the Bears Den. Good afternoon, Bear. How are you, sir? Try that again. Bear is with us live this afternoon from the Bears Den. Good afternoon, Bear. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon, Russell.
Hey, there he is.
Doing much better today.
Good. You had adventures in the world of food poisoning yesterday, apparently, huh?
Yes.
It's always fun.
You boys would not have wanted to talk to me yesterday. I can't remember. Is today Tuesday?
Yes, today is, in fact, Tuesday. Wow, you really had it rough.
Yeah, I had one of those. You know where you lose a day?
Yeah.
Yeah. It hit, and then I went. I remember I was looking back through, because when I got up today, I was like, I had 48 texts. And I looked through there, and then I had, you know, I started laughing because I saw the one I sent you yesterday morning, and it was like, will not be in or on today. Sick as a dog. And then you didn't hear from me. Till this morning, I think. So
did you do that thing where you go to bed in the middle of the day and then you wake up in the evening and you don't know what day it is or if it's morning or night?
And it was one of those deals where when you get that deal, you like sleep in like those little 3-hour blocks between being sick and just waking up. And but I pretty much slept almost 20 something hours and, I'm on the mend today. We'll be hopefully back in studio live tomorrow.
Well, so. It's just good to know that you actually had food poisoning. We were worried that you were really taking the loss of the rubber game to Vanderbilt on Sunday way too hard and that you just couldn't cope.
No, I took, we got one. We didn't get swept. And I followed Coach Fotello's lead on it, which, you know, no, we didn't want to lose the series, but I can't remember exactly how he worded it. It wasn't the end of the world, and you know, you take it and build on it.
We learned a lot about ourselves in the process.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's a reason they're the, you know, Vanderbilt's a perennial number one team. I mean, we've all gotten fired up about baseball, and it's been cool, but that playing them and watching them, and especially with their pitching, gives you a look at what, you know, the best program's about. I mean, Leiter and Rocker were unreal, especially Rocker. I was really impressed with Kumar. So
yeah, they were both the real deal. I don't think there's anything about it. And I think Tennessee had enough success. I was talking with a guy before the show, and yeah, Heflin outduels Leiter on Saturday. But yeah, Rocker he's the real deal. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But even Tennessee hit several balls right on the button. Baseball's a funny sport. You know, we had so many balls that were hit right to the warning track or line drives right at outfielders like that. Sometimes they fall for you, sometimes they drop, and not taking anything away from Vanderbilt. They're obviously a, a cut above this year, and that's what we're shooting for.
Right.
But you leave that series. And I was, you were asking, we talked, I think, this morning, and I was telling you about the show yesterday, and we got a ton of calls, and we talked to Rusty Enzer, and we talked to Trey, we talked a lot of baseball with those guys, and the conversation was all positive, even though, yeah, you're going into a big weekend series against Vanderbilt, and you lose the series, but still came out of it feeling pretty good about the future of Tennessee baseball.
Yeah, because it wasn't a deal where we went in thinking that we were a really good baseball team, only to get obliterated in three straight games and, you know, been, you know, surprised that we aren't a good baseball team. I think we all realize that we're still a very, very good top tier, you know, top five baseball team. We just happen to play the best, one of the best teams in the country. And I thought the guys fought hard. And I mean, even Friday night against Rocker, you know, we were in that game. That was a duel. And until they, you know, they got out a little bit ahead of us. And if you get behind, you know, a team that's got a talent like Rocker on the mound, it's going to be hard to dig out of it. So, but yeah, you know, we're still where we're at last week. We still got a great baseball team, and all of our goals, as coaches would say, are still in front of us.
Have you been keeping up with the collapse of the European Super League this afternoon across the pond?
I just got an update, saw it on Twitter. I saw where your Chelsea boys
leading the way, leading the way as always.
Earlier, and then my Man City,
always the followers.
Well, you got to be ugly. They just, right as we were going to air, have said that they will not be in the Super League. So now it'll be interesting to see what the top four do.
Oh, it's over.
You think?
Yeah.
Without Chelsea and Man City?
Yeah. Well, and earlier today, the German clubs and PSG in Paris said they weren't
Bayern
joining.
And Munich.
So, I mean, without, yeah, I mean, it's over. It's done. It's amazing. And nobody cares. I get it. Nobody cares about soccer, but there are some interesting parallels between what could happen in the future with college football. And then today, if do yourself a favor, even if you're not a soccer fan, you don't care about any of this, just go and read up on it a little bit. The parallels between what's happening today in Europe all over and what happened on Chiano Sunday are striking. It's really incredible. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It was a done deal. The greedy, you know what? We're gonna just ram it down the fans' throats. And the fans said, no, you're actually not, and pressured their clubs enough. The scenes outside of Stamford Bridge, where Chelsea plays today, were pretty incredible. Fans, they were blocking the bus. There's a game going on right now. They had a Premier League game, and right. The fans were blocking, wouldn't let the buses in. They were going to shut down the game. And you had Petr Cech, who was our goalie when we won Champions League in 2012, a legendary figure who works at the club now, out in the middle of the street pleading with people to get out of the way, and they were not having it. They were like, dude, you can get the bleep out.
Yeah. You know, it's been amazing. I used to be a soccer hater. And then you and Mark Nagy kept telling me, you know, it's the closest thing to Southeastern Conference football on the planet. As far as
people will take this the wrong way, but the SEC is actually the closest thing to the Premier League on the planet. It's the other way around. They're much more passionate and crazy about their sport than we are. It's weird. It's actually more like, even though it is professional sport, and this is a big part of it too, is the professional sport system over there has a lot more in common with the collegiate sports system here than it does our professional sports, because they do not follow the quote-unquote franchise model where you get mad. Oh, the Baltimore Colts owner doesn't like living in Baltimore anymore, thinks he can make more money in Indianapolis. He'll just move the team. Not going to happen in England. Like Man City is Man City. They don't even have a nickname. They're not going to move anywhere. So even though they are these huge global brands worth billions of dollars, they still have a remarkable connection to their communities, which are oftentimes smaller than big American cities too. So there's still that homey feel, even though these have become these huge brands, and you can't lose that connection, even though the opportunity to make more money is substantial over there. You just can't do that to your fan bases. And it's pretty remarkable what happened over there this week.
Yeah. I mean, I still, you know, I texted you and Mark, trying to get you guys to explain it to me. And I still really, I'm not even going to pretend like I understand how all that stuff works over there. But
so the way I explained it to Guy, because he doesn't follow it either. Imagine if Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Texas, Michigan, and USC, and maybe one or two other elite college football teams in big markets with huge fan bases said, you know what, we can make a lot more money. It doesn't make any sense for us to play Vanderbilt or Illinois or Oregon or whoever. We're just going to play each other. And we're going to get the top 10 or so teams, and we're just going to play each other. We're going to form our own league. And we might mix in a game just for poops and giggles here or there against our old conference foes, but we're pretty much done with that. And so what would happen if that happened, and maybe it does happen someday, I don't know. That's why this is so interesting, is obviously the Alabama fans wouldn't want that, right? They would say, we don't care how much money. We want to play Auburn. We want to play Tennessee. We're an SEC football team. And the other SEC teams, Tennessee, the Auburns, the teams that would get left behind, would say, well, that's going to kill us. And that's essentially what happened, is they were trying to run away and form their own thing and soak up all the money for themselves at the expense of everybody else in that sport.
Go ahead. Sorry.
And the fans shut it down.
Yeah. Now I do find it laughable that somehow FIFA and is it the UEFA have somehow come out of this looking like the good guys when they're, you know, probably just horrendously corrupt in their own right.
Yeah.
The way they do business.
Yeah, I mean, their motives were certainly not altruistic, but
no,
benefit.
I wish that, you know, everybody talks about, you'll hear people talk about how, you know, with the relegation, like, I wish that some American sports adopted some of that. Like, I'm a big fan. Like, once I started understanding the whole relegation deal, where you're not rewarded for sucking like you are in American sports, I kind of dig that.
Promotion and relegation is so cool. And yeah. What you've seen is there are a lot of Americans that are – an American ownership group owns Liverpool. An American ownership group owns Manchester United and several other teams over there, right?
Arsenal, I think.
Arsenal.
Yeah. And it was the American owners that tried to pull this, right?
Yeah, because they just can't. And those clubs are never in danger of relegation from the Premier League, but they don't always make Champions League, and so that's they miss out on a lot of money when they don't. And
so, was that what they were trying to do?
They're trying to say, look, essentially, we'll be in Champions League every year. And Champions League will take priority over Premier League. We're getting in the weeds here, but that's essentially what they were trying to do. It's never enough for these people, man. We see it over here too. It's ridiculous. And we've got a guy here, Danny White, Dr. Dan, Danny No Nugs. Who's trying to reinvent the wheel with the donation system and stuff like that this week. And I get it. He has to. He's in an arms race. That's what we hired him to do. I'm not blaming him, but man, he's got a tough gig. Because our fans are about tapped out here.
I mean, as far as football goes, absolutely.
What do you what's your position on Joe Milton? Your take there. You think he's the guy?
I don't know. I mean, the big thing is that we obviously don't have a guy. So I'm of the mind the more the merrier.
You just keep throwing scholarships at it until somebody hits.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, it's quarterback.
Yeah.
I wish that
Jeremy Pruitt had that kind of philosophy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if somebody, maybe I saw it on one of the message boards, a picture of our linebacker group right now. And I got to say, it kind of resembles a staff photo at Fan Run.
Do what now?
I saw a picture of our current linebacker group at Tennessee.
What's that supposed to mean?
They don't look like the most athletic bunch of guys.
Well, they're missing they're missing a handful.
Me, you, Reed, Cam Black, Dirty Dave and the boys on 3 and Pout, we'd probably be a little bit more imposing than our current linebacker group at Tennessee. I want to throw some scholarships at linebackers.
Well, you get a couple of guys back off suspension. Two of those guys were linebackers, right? So you get those two back. And then maybe you add somebody in the transfer portal. You get Jeremy Banks back. He hasn't – I mean, I think that if Banks and Roman Harrison are your two starting linebackers this year, that's – I mean, it's certainly not Al Wilson, Raynock Thompson, Eric Westmoreland, but it's pretty good. It certainly could be worse. It's not like we're starting walk-ons.
I mean, not to start the season.
Much more concerned about quarterback than I am linebacker. And the fact of the matter is...
Really? Because I'm honest to God, I'm not. That's the one thing I do have a lot of faith in and a level of comfort with Heupel is that Heupel and Golish will... One of these guys, they'll be able to get one of these guys ready to run just because they have a track record of doing more with less.
You are more optimistic than me.
I am less optimistic about our linebacker core.
Oh, here's the thing about linebacker. We're not going to stop anyone anyway. Nobody stops anyone anyway anymore. So as long as we have warm bodies and they're scholarship athletes and they're out there trying hard, to me – we're going to give up a billion yards and a billion points this year. That's just kind of how it is. I wish Henry T had stuck around. I think he would have been the anchor here and would have been a good fit in this scheme that we're installing that evidently is not going to be that different than what Pruitt was doing and different terminology and all that stuff. But it sounds like we're going to be very multiple as far as three down, four down, all that stuff. But... man, you either got a quarterback or you don't, man. And I just don't see, said this a billion times yesterday, one more time, for the road, I don't see Milton coming here if he didn't think he was going to be the guy, and I don't see Heupel bringing him in if he didn't think that he could be the guy. So my money's on him. Big show this afternoon. We will take a quick timeout and run down our guy, Chad Withrow, of Outkick, coming up next to talk a little sports with him. Stay with us. The Drive rages on. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell LeBaire cruised along with you. Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Chad Withrow of Outkick 360 is with us on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, Chad. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. Always good talking to you.
Always good. And looking forward to having you guys in town this weekend. Big event going down at the Old City Sports Bar. A little pregame, and we've talked about this several times with you, Chad. Probably more excited for the Outkick meet and greet in the Old City than the actual spring game itself.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe we'll have our own spring game at Old City Sports Bar. Some sort of scrimmage will break out at some point. No, I'm excited for the event for sure, and it's tough to get overly excited about a spring game, but this is the time of year where you start to think that, you know, your favorite team, maybe better than they actually are. So for Tennessee fans, hope springs eternal in the season of spring. So we look forward to celebrating that hope with a lot of Tennessee fans over at Old City Sports Bar on Saturday, starting at noon. So I hope to see a lot of your listeners there and some of you guys there as well.
Is it difficult for you Nashville guys, and you come to Knoxville often, Clay does too, like, is it difficult to make the Central Standard Time, Eastern Standard Time transition so often?
No, it's very easy. You know, I went to school in Knoxville, and I've been doing it for a long time now, so it's very easy for me. I will say, though, it's losing the hour going up that hurts. Like, when you come back, it's great, you know, when you get the hour back. But knowing you have to leave an hour earlier than you would want to, because of that, because you're going to lose the hour going up, it's going to be an early departure for us on Saturday morning from Nashville to make sure that we're there in time for the event at Old City Sports Bar. So that's the part of it that's not as fun.
All right, Outkick meet and greet, noon to 3:30, leading up to kick off the Orange and White game. We'll be at the Old City Sports Bar, 106 South Central Street. You know where it is, in the Old City. Come on out, see us Saturday. Chad and the boys will be down there, Clay Travis and company as well. Should be a lot of fun. Chad, what is the addition of Joe Milton? The fact that Josh Heupel would add a quarterback at this juncture, what does that news say to you about the way Heupel views Tennessee's quarterback situation?
I think there's one really bad part of this and one really good part of this. And I guess I'll start with the bad news first. The bad news is that if they feel the need to add Joe Milton, that does not bode well for the current quarterbacks on the roster, Hendon Hooker included, who I know a lot of Tennessee fans probably hope will be the starter. So that's not a good sign as to what the coaches think about the current quarterbacks. Now, the good news with this is now you've got a coach and an offensive-minded head coach that's going to go do something about the quarterback position when it's not adequate, other than, you know, crossing your fingers and closing your eyes and praying that someone gets better, because that was the Jarrett Garantano approach the entire time Jeremy Pruitt was here. Instead of going and fully addressing it, it's like they were just hopeful that Garantano was going to get better the entire time. So I will praise Josh Heupel for seeing something needed to be done and going and taking a flyer on another quarterback. So I think that part of it is very good for Tennessee fans, but I don't know how anyone can view this move as anything other than not very good for the current state of the quarterback room.
Is there a small part of you that's still a little bit wondering whether or not Garantano will actually trot out there at quarterback for the Vols during the spring game?
Yeah, he's been trolling us the whole time. He just went to Pullman and started the spring practice. Really, he's going to come back. It's a body double. That's out of Washington State. He's gonna run through the tee for the Bowling Green game. I would think not, but yeah, I think that's probably in the back of a lot of Tennessee fans' mind out there, that anything is possible when it comes to Jarrett Garantano.
You think Shiano Sunday was bad? There might be a revolt that just dwarfs all that. It might be like what's happening on over in Europe today if JG were to trot out there, but I don't think that's going to happen, thankfully. Chad Withrow, Outkick 360, with us this afternoon on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Chad, we had a huge college baseball series for the first time in a long time here this past weekend in Knoxville as Vanderbilt was in town. I know, obviously, they are in Nashville, your neck of the woods. How much coverage does college baseball get in Nashville? Obviously, a much bigger market than we are in here.
Well, it gets zero coverage on our show. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
We are not big college baseball people, and it doesn't really move the needle. You know, it's the same reason I only talk about women's basketball. Honestly, when people ask about it, if you look at the television numbers, it's similar. At the highest levels of college baseball and the highest levels of women's basketball, in fact, women's basketball typically does a lot better than college baseball. But this Vandy program, I'm a fan of greatness, right? I mean, if you're excellent at something, I'm a fan of it, and I like to watch it. And I love Tim Corbin and the program he's built at Vanderbilt because it's excellence. And Tim Corbin is excellence personified. He has done an amazing job with that program. They're great. And it was fun to go. I didn't sit down and watch any of the games, but just fun to go and watch the Grand Slam on Saturday, and just the energy around the games in Knoxville over the weekend was really cool to see. And that prompted Tim Corbin to then say, boy, it's like there's no COVID in Knoxville. It's amazing to see this. And that was him taking a swipe at the city of Nashville for only allowing 650 fans at Vanderbilt games. And I know that's about to be doubled, I believe, for their next series. But that was Tim Corbin's frustration with his own administration and the city of Nashville and what they're allowing there as opposed to what they're allowing in Knoxville. But it is really cool to see what Tony Vitale has done with that program and that they obviously are a legit contender. And I think they showed that this weekend, even though they lost 2-3 to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I found Corbin's comments after the game really interesting. And so that was just him trying to put a little pressure on the local folks in Nashville who control attendance at Vanderbilt games. And do you think it has an impact, what he said?
It does, because when he speaks, people listen. In fact, Candace Story Lee, the AD, issued a statement after he made that comment in the press conference saying, I, like Coach Corbin, really want things to normalize again and for full fans to be at Hawkins Field for games. But she said, unfortunately, we have to abide by the Metro, you know, public policy and public health policy in Metro Nashville, and that was part of it. Now, things are opening up more in Nashville, so I think the capacity goes to 50% or 40% at Hawkins Field now, which I want to say is like 2,300 maybe people. So they're going to go up a little bit in attendance now and what they can allow. But, I mean, I can understand Tim Corbin. He's got this great team that could win a national title and fans can't go and watch. And he goes to Knoxville and he experiences a great environment and thinks, boy, it'd be nice to have that in Nashville.
Chad Withrow of Outkick 360 with us. All right, Chad, NFL draft next week. What is the buzz around the Titans' plans right now?
It's funny because if you go back and look at last year's mock drafts, right before the draft, I think three or four of the biggest writers out there, Peter King was one of them, I think Albert Breer was another, they all mocked Isaiah Wilson to the Titans. So something got out. Word got out that the Titans wanted Isaiah Wilson with that pick, and they were right. Now I'm looking at a lot of different mock drafts, and the name that magically popped up today or in the last couple of days to the Titans, and I had not seen this before anywhere, but now it's on multiple mock drafts, Elijah Moore, wide receiver from Ole Miss. That is a name now I'm going to be keeping an eye on because I had not seen him in the first round of many mock drafts. And now all of a sudden, 22 to the Titans in multiple big-time NFL reporter, writer, mock drafts. So that to me is a name to watch. I mean, the two positions of need, there's three, wide receiver being one of them, but two on defense, edge rusher and corner. If there's the right corner or edge rusher there, I'd look out for those positions. But I'm telling you guys, if these guys were right a year ago on Isaiah Wilson, watch out for Elijah Moore from Ole Miss.
Let's hope he works out better than Isaiah Wilson. Yeah. Is Elijah Moore, that's the dude who peed on the pylon, right?
It is. It is the guy who peed on the pylon.
Nice.
And, yes, and hopefully Elijah Moore will be on the team next year, unlike Isaiah Wilson, who I think took a couple snaps on some extra points, and that was his total contribution as a first-round pick to the Titans.
Well, those Ole Miss wide receivers have been working out lately in the NFL.
Yeah, A.J. Brown has done well, so they hit on one of them, and I think Elijah Moore's a really player also, and I wouldn't mind that at all to the Titans, but I just, when you watch that defense a year ago, and their offense was very good, and they lost some pieces on offense, they need a tight end also, but I just think that glaring weakness right now at corner, they need a starter at corner, and they still need another linebacker or edge rusher to solidify that defense a little bit more, because it was awful a year ago.
The huge story of the offseason in the NFL South is, or the AFC South is obviously Deshaun Watson. Do you think he plays football this year?
It's hard to guess right now. I think that at best right now he's going to miss half the season. I really believe that. Just the way everything is piling up on him, I don't see any way that he's not going to at least serve a half season suspension. I think odds are probably better than worse that he doesn't play at all this year. This is an ugly, ugly situation. You know it's bad when your defense is, hey, look at all of these women that I didn't sexually assault.
Oh, man.
Right? Like, that's like, if you're accused of something, it's like, hey, meet all these girls that I didn't attack. That's probably not the best defense. It's kind of like a serial killer, you know, putting people on the witness stand that he came in contact with and didn't kill. So I think that's an odd defense from his defense team. And when you've got, I think the number's, what, 23 or 24 now, women that are all saying the same things, that's, it's not good at all for Deshaun Watson.
Certainly not. All right, Chad, excellent appearance as always, my friend. And one more time, Saturday, Old City Sports Bar. Be ready for the orange and white game. Who else going to be there? You, Clay, are the other 360 guys going to be there too?
Yeah, Jonathan Hutton will be there. Paul Kuharski's got some family obligations, so he won't be able to make it. But, yeah, it'll be myself, Clay Travis, Jonathan Hutton, and we just want to meet and greet some Vols fans that are either going to the game or not and want to come hang out. There's going to be some drink specials, probably some free food and drink also that we'll be talking about later in the week. But, yeah, and I hope to see all of your listeners there, some of you guys there, and it's going to be a big day. So, noon at Old City Sports Bar on Saturday. Hope to see a lot of people there.
Yeah, I told you I'll be managing a Little League game. There's always a chance that I get thrown out of the game, and if so, I'll be down there celebrating with you guys. Now, does he have to have some sort of bodyguard or security, or is Knoxville pretty much he has free reign here?
He's got – I'm amazed that because I've known Clay for years before anyone knew who he was. I'm amazed at the level of celebrity now of Clay Travis when he's in Knoxville. I think that's the one place I can go out with him in Nashville, and people will come up and talk to him, but it's not as big of a deal. But when he's in Knoxville, it is, it's like you're walking around with a beetle when you're with Clay. So he probably needs some sort of security protection. I will not be providing him with that security protection, though, in Knoxville. He'll have to do that himself.
So if somebody came up and wanted to go, Clay's on his own? Or does that depend on how big
the
boy is?
The bro code would dictate that I would have to come to his defense if someone started throwing hands with Clay. But if someone just wants to come up and yell something at him or say something mean, then he's going to be on his own there. But if it gets physical, that's when I'll step in.
Does that ever happen? Do people just talk crap in public? Or
Clay claims that no one has ever said anything to him in public about disagreeing with him, not liking him, or any of the things that he gets on Twitter. I am here to tell you that is incorrect. Clay just has a very short memory when it comes to negative things. It doesn't happen often. It's very rare that someone will say anything other than, can I take a picture with you, when he's in public. But I have been around him where people have talked trash to him. And I think that Clay, the way Clay's mind works, he just forgets about it so quickly that he, you know, says that it never happened. I'm here to tell you it has happened.
I believe Butch Jones referred to that as a snap and clear mentality. I think he'll be in friendly environs this weekend. So hope everything goes well, and invite listeners again to come out and see us at the Old City Sports Bar before the orange and white game on Saturday. Chad Withrow of Outkick 360. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, and one quick thing. We're going to be upstairs at Old City Sports Bar. I think there's going to be some signage there directing people, but just so if a listener out there wants to go, just know that we're going to be upstairs at Old City Sports Bar. Guys, thanks for having me on.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Chad.
All right, bye.
Chad Withrow, Outkick 360. You can actually hear 2 hours of that in the evenings. A great evening listening if you're out and about late nights, 8 to 10 p.m. That's late for me, but maybe early for some of y'all out there. We play 2 hours of their show from 8 to 10 p.m. right after overtime here on Fan Run Radio. Chad appears as all Fan Run guests do via the G3 Help Me Hotline. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, go to the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. You can visit them online at g3helpme.com or just call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's g3helpme.com. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. More of The Drive and your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio has...
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Coming up tomorrow, we'll be live out at Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike. Come on in, see us for a free test drive. Over 300 vehicles in stock this week at the Kingston Pike location, ranging in price from $1,500 all the way up to $50,000. No matter what your situation is, they're sure to have a vehicle that suits your needs. At Old Ben Franklin Motors, looking forward to being back out there tomorrow. And, of course, we'll have some piping hot Jets pizza for you if you come by early enough to get some. Russell and Bear back with you on the drive. All right, Bear, Chad Withrow of OutKick. What did you learn?
Chad and the boys will be upstairs.
Upstairs? That's your takeaway is where they're going to be at the building?
Bar.
Okay.
Well, that and Chad will, if he has to, he will throw.
Yeah.
But if you just want to scream at Clay, have at it.
So that is still that's the bro code. Like if you and I are out and somebody, some big dude who could obviously take me in a fight
right.
comes up and he's like getting into it with you. I'm obligated whether you can handle yourself or not, I'm obligated to have your back, right?
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah. It's kind of that whole partner thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, unlike Chad, if somebody got up in your face and just started screaming at you, there's a better than average chance you're going to get hit in the back of the head with something hard. Because you roll with me. I mean,
you think that'll...
It doesn't have much to... It has more to... It's a respect thing with me. That somebody would think that they could... talk trash to you in public in front of me. I mean, everybody knows you're my guy. You're my buddy. Fight one of us or fighting both of us.
I'm a nice guy. Nobody had ever come up wanting to fight me. That did happen once. I've told you that story, right?
No.
There was this, I don't know what I said, but it was when I was on ESPN 1180 doing a morning show from 8 to 10 a.m. in 2004, 2005, something like that. And right. we were doing a show out at Reader Chevrolet. You know where that is over on Clinton Highway?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was out there by myself, right? And I'm sitting at the table right in the middle of their showroom. And some guy called in, and I don't remember what it was about, but we kind of got into it, like happens sometimes on sports radio, you know?
Yeah.
And this guy said, well, guess what? I'm fixing to come see you, and we're going to throw hands.
Really?
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought about doing that when you and Terry made fun of me that afternoon. And to be honest with you, I even went so far as to go to a remote within a week or two.
Yeah,
and
but
then once I got down there, I decided that, you know, Terry was drafted in the first round by the Detroit Lions, and I really didn't want to get my ass kicked while you laughed about it and gave a play-by-play live on the radio.
Yeah, so but I didn't know if this guy was serious or not. It was kind of – so I did the rest of that show.
Kind of nervous?
Yeah, like looking over my shoulder. I don't know what this guy looks like. I don't know if he's a big guy. And he ended up not going, but he kind of had me – he had me thinking about it.
Yeah. Hey, you got to be careful nowadays. People are crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You never know. Yeah. Some fool come up on you with a gun.
Yeah.
You keep that in mind the next time screaming and yelling at some poor guy who just wanted to pick up the phone and make a point on the drive.
just wanted to interact with us live on the radio.
Yeah, he took exception or something and just wanted to set us straight or even just make a friendly point. Say, guys, I don't know if you've thought about it from this angle or not, but here's another way of looking at it. It's what we need more of in this world. Compassion.
Absolutely.
Empathy.
Compassion.
Let's get to the phones, 865-546-8200. Phil is up next on the drive. Good afternoon, Phil.
Boys, how are you?
What's up, Philly?
How you been, Bear Don?
Doing well, thank you.
Yeah. I like this guy from Michigan. He played pretty good up until he got hurt. So, and not only that, he kind of reminds me of Josh. He's a bigger version of Josh Dobbs. And I think
really?
That the part for this fit for this offense.
Strong
so
praise right there.
What's the knock on him?
What?
What's the downside to this guy?
Well, the downside I've been reading from Michigan people are saying that he can't, you know, once it, his first receiver is not open, he has a hard time finding the next one. But the way this offense is, it's pretty quick reacting, so you're not going to see much of that. And if he's not open, he just running.
Well, I know he's big. What is he, like 6'4", 240?
Yeah, he's a big old guy, yeah. I think next year it'll be him, or I bet if Sauter can survive all this stuff, he'll at least be second string, and the rest of the talent players will be out of Dodge, and we'll keep recruiting.
So do you guys think, had Sauter not gotten into the jam he got himself into, that we'd be bringing Milton in?
Well, they might be, but still, I mean, it's hard to put a true freshman right out there at quarterback. I mean, at least Milton has played competition, and he's more physically ready than Salker's. Just he looks to me like he needs to be, be in the weight room a little bit himself.
You got to have a quarterback, man. You just have to. And I thought that was something interesting that Chad said. And I asked him, what does it say? And it's like, look, he might not feel terrible about Hooker and Sauter and whoever else is out there right now, but he might not feel great about it either. And I think Pruitt probably felt that way about Garantano, where it's like he didn't feel great about him, but he just thought that he could fix him. He's like the woman who thinks she can fix her man. It's like, you can't. The guy's 40 years old. He ain't changing, right? And yeah. And Pruitt just he wasn't willing to go out there and push the envelope in terms of updating his roster and getting some other options on there. And this guy is, and hopefully that's a good sign.
Who's this defensive tackle that's leaving Western Kentucky we're involved with now?
First I've heard about it, Philly.
Some guy named Barbara, I think. Just saw it on Vol Nation, so y'all can look it up.
I need to start going to Vol Nation, man. I only look at the Rivals board and the 247 board. You keep dropping this Vol Nation stuff on me. Maybe I need to work that into the rotation.
I mean, it's free. I have to pay no money for it. It's just as good as they are. I get to pay money.
You had a Vol Nation, Bear?
I was IP banned from Vol Nation.
How does it stack up to Vol Nugs?
Cheap
comparison?
Clown Show. One's the message board of record for this fan base, and one's Vol Nation.
There you go. But y'all heard of Henry Coleman before?
Henry Coleman.
Yeah. I wonder if John Tweet knows who he is.
I don't follow.
He's a Power Four from Richmond, Virginia. He was at Duke. He's in transfer portal. 6'8", 230. You think Tennessee ought to be interested in him?
It's my kind of forward right there, Phil. 6'8", 230.
It's what Tennessee needs. Be back up to Hatfield and probably play some 5-2. And you need four post players. I don't want to throw Tomba in there next year. I don't think he'd be quite ready unless he can put some pounds on this summer.
6'7", forward, played in 19 games as a freshman last season for Duke. Entered his name in the portal. Very interesting, Philly. We will let's keep our eye on that guy.
Yeah. And I see we got Hal yesterday. And what's the hold up of them signing Tomba? What are they doing?
I don't know. You tell me. You're the Catholic guy.
Well, as far as I've heard, he ain't signed yet. I don't know.
Maybe he'll wise up and go back to high school, Tomba. Get your education. Enjoy being big man on campus, literally and figuratively. And let your game develop. Let your body catch up. You got 4 years to
well, there mess is some truth to that. I agree with that. I think it's a disservice to the kid. But if that's what he wants to do, then fine. I mean, but you only go to high school once in your life.
It's true. Unless you're Billy Madison.
But I don't know, guys. I hate to say that it's going to rain this Saturday for the Orange and White game.
Is it really? You got to be kidding.
That's what Fabulous Rick Butler and Brandon were saying this morning on the Blitz.
Oh, yeah, 90% chance of precipitation on Saturday. 100% now. Just so changed.
Where's this bar y'all going to be going to Saturday with all these celebrities?
Old City Sports Bar. And I will admit to not being familiar with this watering hole. Looking really? Forward to changing that. They said it's upstairs, so I'm guessing, is that in the old where Hooray's used to be back in the day? Am I dating myself now?
Well, it's all way in there? Huh. Wow.
That was a fantastic place.
Well, we'll go check it out. I mean, it's the Old City, right? You go down. If you could get to the Old City, you can find this place, I'm sure. So tap it into the magic smartphone, the computer in your pocket, and come out and see us Saturday.
Well, if I know about people be down there, I might come down there because it better not get wet and get drunk and then be out, you know, be sober and getting rained on in the middle of the stadium, you know what?
Good call, Philly. Good call.
See you.
Thank you. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. G3 Help Me Hotline wide open for you this afternoon. We got a Record Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question for you, and it's smoking hot. Ladies and gentlemen, what sport are you most interested in between UT football, UT basketball, and UT baseball? 190 votes cast. What do you think? What do you think the number breakdown is roughly, Bear?
I'll say at least 60% football, and probably two.
You skipped out there, Bear. I'll give you the. You said 60% football. You're very close. 55.6% saying UT football, 22.4% say UT basketball, and 22% say UT baseball. I find it interesting that baseball and basketball pulling neck and neck right now.
Well, I mean, a lot of momentum with baseball right now.
Yeah, but you know what else? Football's still king, man. I mean, they can absolutely try to kill it as much as they want. But Phil's going to talk in and go right to football. Phil is going to call in and go right to football whenever he calls in the show, right?
Yeah, and he's probably our biggest basketball guy that calls us out of our regular callers. And Phil will tell you, basketball is his favorite sport. But even Phil, first thing he always wants to talk about, football is a straw that stirs the drink, as they say, Russ.
Well, we've had one of those flimsy paper straws the last 12 years. Can we please get one of those nice, firm, plastic McDonald's straws with the red and yellow line on it? Those things will still be around in that giant island of trash in the Pacific 500 years from now. Those McDonald's straws. Now, have you seen these wet paper straws? They're terrible. Halfway, those things, 5 minutes into your beverage, they're falling apart. I know it's Earth Day, and we should be celebrating things that are good for the environment, but we have been the paper straw of college football for the past 12 years. Come on, Josh Heupel. Be strong. Be plastic. Be infallible, like Butch Jones' system was supposed to be. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. Guy Patterson will be here with the top four at four coming up next on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Record Ridge Barbecue, located in beautiful Cove Lake State Park. Record Ridge is home of the